ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service number 2, a memorial prayer devotional evangelistic service designed to help everybody through the most difficult time in our lifetime, the time of the plague. You can call it a pandemic if you want. I believe that this is a plague sent from God primarily against the church because of our evil ways. And you're not going to make it through this time successfully on to the other side unless you put God first, unless you, as a child of God, humble yourself and pray and seek God's face and turn from your wicked ways and repent and get back to Jesus Christ, your first love. And one of the ways that we're trying to help you do that is to remind you, some of you, and to tell some of you for the first time that you need to get back to personal prayer and Bible reading, we used to call it devotional time, quiet time, family altar. You need to do this individually every day, and you need to do it with your family. And and you need to do it in the morning. Whatever time morning is for you, that's when you need to do it. You need to do it first thing in the morning. Don't get to going on stuff and then try to put it in there. It doesn't work that way. Put God first, and then everything else will pan out and work out for you. And so with that, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John Piper said, God created me and you to live with a single, all-embracing, all-transforming passion, namely a passion to glorify God by enjoying and displaying His supreme excellence in all the spheres of life. And you can only do that by having personal devotions, praying and reading the Bible for yourself in the morning, not listening to Joel Osteen or some of your favorite preacher in the morning. No, you need to get alone with God yourself. If these other preachers that you follow have any power and anything to give you worthwhile, they get it from God. You know where they get it from? Personal, private time with God in prayer and reading the Bible. And you don't want to be just a person who consumes all the time. We got millions of Christians who are that way. They always want to receive. No, no, no. God tells you, Jesus Christ tells you, to let your little light shine. Let your light shine. That means you need to get some light from Him. You can't go around regurgitating everybody else. You got to spend time in prayer with God yourself. And you must read the Word of God yourself and get something fresh from God yourself so that you can be a blessing to at least one other person, to be a blessing to some other people. It's okay to receive if you're going to receive from others, if you are getting from God what you need so that you can give to others. And you can't do that if you don't have a devotional time. First thing in the morning, whatever morning is for you. So let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help all of us who name the name of Christ to humble ourselves and to pray to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent and get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray for all single ladies and single men who are heterosexual. Lord, we pray that they would maintain holiness in their lives. If their children, if they belong to you, if they name the name of Christ, and help them to pray and to read your holy word to do that. We pray for all families everywhere to get back to a family altar or family devotions, at least plus personal devotions as well. And Lord God in heaven, Lord God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would indeed, Lord, from that, heal every family that names the name of Christ. And Holy Father God, we pray that you will help each family, Lord, to pray together and to obey together Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 especially, and all other verses in your holy word, the whole counsel of God. And then, Lord, help them to stay together as so many House of Cards families are falling apart under the pressure of the plague pandemic, for the plague pandemic is showing up what their family is made of. And so many families have been masquerading as Brady Bunch families in the church, but they're Adams families at home. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that your Holy Ghost would work mightily in families and help families to stop being hypocrites and phonies and fakes, and to be real for once in their lives, and to confess their sins and to repent and to turn from their evil ways. We pray, Lord, for the salvation, and we pray, in fact, for household salvation for all of the families that don't know you as Savior. Please forgive us of our sins in the church, of not obeying your great commandment or your great commission, for we have failed you, and so many families are lost today, and they have no clue as to how to get through this, or to deal with this, or to deal with family issues, because they have never been born again. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you would raise up laborers to go into the whited harvest fields and reap them for you. Lord, even if you can't use us, Lord, raise up somebody else. God, have mercy and grace upon us, and forgive us of our sins as your people. Thank you for your remnant and your 7,000 that are still standing strong. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in reciting or reading the New Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, everybody. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. he was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We're reading Ephesians 5 and 6 every day, but we're reading it in different ways, and today we're reading the stretch of scriptures in chapter 6 that deal with spiritual warfare. And I assure you that by the grace of God, we read this passage every day in our family for 33 years. And let me just say this, because of my calling and what God has called me to do, I believe all families have spiritual warfare, but I'm sure that there are different levels. Because God has called me to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that goes along with that, which includes a whole lot of prayer and so forth, and publishing the gospel, publishing the word around the world, the devil's going to attack me more than maybe your family if you're a church member and you're serving the Lord in your church and so forth. So you may not have to do all that I've had to do. If you're in the ministry and you're serious about serving God, you might want to read Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. And if you have some evil family members, you had better read it and pray over it with your family each and every day. Because the devil is going to be on you like white on rice and black on me. He's going to attack you. And so for you to survive and for your marriage to survive and your family to survive and go through it, you must read this passage regularly. And I would suggest daily if you're in the ministry, because it will help remind you that you're not wrestling with flesh and blood. You're dealing with the devil behind the person. And yes, it is true. The devil will use somebody in your family who claims to be a Christian to try to hinder the gospel from going forward, to try to hinder the work of the church and the ministry. But see, we don't want to admit that in our day and time, because we have a false, fake Christianity, a prosperity gospel Christianity, that we can't say anything negative about what's going on. Everything is supposed to be hunky-dory and wonderful and sweet and dandy for us all the time. And that's just not the case. I don't know who told you that lie, but you better stop believing that lie. Because somebody, like the boxer who was getting beat up, every time he went to his corner, his coach said, he's not laying a hand on you. He's not laying a hand on you. He's going back out there. And that boxer was getting his getting whipped. Said, well, somebody better check that referee out, because somebody's beating my brains out there. Well, that's the devil in your life. He's the one who's fighting you. And he will use your spouse. He will use your children, your teenage children, not your little children. Your little children will be your greatest supporters. But once they turn into teenagers and they become get to the age of accountability, the devil will use them too. And so many families are jacked up because they don't believe that. And they think somehow that their family is supposed to be all perfect and wonderful and great. And the devil does not care anything about that. So this is a passage that we read every day. And This week we're breaking it down with verse 19. The Bible reads, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." That's why I invite all of you to pray for me while I'm preaching. I have one daughter, my daughter Danae. She is the only one who has spontaneously in our family prayed for me while I'm preaching the gospel. And by her example, I'm encouraging everybody to do it, including my wife, and including you. I'm asking everybody to pray for me while I preach the gospel. It's crucial that you pray for your preacher, pray for your pastor as he preaches, before he preaches, and while he's preaching, for there's power in prayer. And and my daughter Danae, she prays for the salvation of lost souls. She's done it on her own. I've never told her to do that, but I notice that she does that. Now, that may be the only time she prays, I don't know, but I do. I have noticed that. I have not noticed any other times that she's prayed, but she prays for lost souls, and she prays for her father while he's preaching the gospel to get the message across. And all of you ought to spontaneously do that for your pastor. If Paul asks for prayer to preach the gospel, then I think we need all the prayer we can get as well. With that, speaking of prayer, let's move on to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Holy Father God, grant us your grace and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray. And Holy Father God, we pray today for all of the people, Lord, who are hurting today because of the death of loved ones in a nation that for some reason is not showing any love or compassion for them. And we pray for millions of people, but Lord, we pray for a few by name. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the family and friends of Florida teaching assistant Shyla Pennington. We pray for the family and friends of Florida paramedic Gerald Jones. We pray for the family and friends of Italian resident G. Sciotti. We pray for the family and friends of Italian resident G. I. Sciotti. We pray for the family and friends of New York firefighter Richard Seabury. We pray for the family and friends of Texas therapist Isabel Papa Demetrio. We pray for the family and friends of Texas coach Hector Rocha. We pray for the family and friends of South Carolina nurse Patricia Edwards. We pray for the family and friends of California engineer Jose Roberto. We pray for the family and friends of Florida father Alfonso Cardenas. And Lord, we pray today also for the family of the 16-year-old girl who was murdered in Houston, Texas, I believe yesterday. just from some what they call social media beef. And Holy Father, God, comfort that family as only you can. And Lord, we pray for the families of the two young men who have been shot and killed, one in Philadelphia and one in another place. Comfort these families no matter how things went down or what went on. Lord, you know all about it. Comfort these families as only you can. Draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. Draw them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and comfort. And Holy Father God, we pray for the healing of those who are sick. Lord, not only of the coronavirus disease, but so many other diseases that people are afraid to go to the hospital to get taken care of. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of the lost in this country and around the globe and in the media. We pray for the revival of the saved in this country, around the globe, and in the media. And Holy Father God, we pray for all people who name the name of Christ. Jesus, help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent of our evil attitudes as well, and to repent and get back to you, our first love. Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll help families to stop being hypocrites at the church and on the job and in the street, and then devils at home. And Holy Father God, and help families to remember that charity must begin at home. It's an old-fashioned statement, but it is so true. For if we don't love our own family members, but we love everybody else in the street and on the job and in the church, that makes us devilish hypocrites and phonies and fakes. And Holy Father God, also if we love others and think other people are better in the street and in the church and on the job than the people in our family, we are respecters of persons. And so that's another sin. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation, spiritual, family life, protection, and provision. Financial and material blessings upon all of your people and everybody in the government, from the president on down. We include in prayer all governors, all senators, all representatives, all state senators, all state representatives, all mayors, all police chiefs, all sheriffs, and all of the wonderful officers who see this as a calling, see this job as a calling, just like I see my job as a calling from you. They are your ministers in government. And Lord, we pray that you would remove the bad apples, but save those souls who are lost, and change their lives. And those who are saved, revive them again and help them to stand for you, Lord Jesus, and not compromise and quit. And Holy Father God, we pray for all premiers and prime ministers and presidents and potentates around the world in the same manner, and all of the people under them, that all of these government leaders would do what is best so that people can lead peaceful and quiet lives, as your holy word tells us to about, and how that we ought to pray to that end. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the protection of Israel. And Lord, help us to all keep looking up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Help us to keep the blessed hope alive in our hearts and minds and lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And so, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we're going to pray for those people who have sent in prayer requests, hear and answer. And our prayer is that God will hear and answer their prayers and our prayers for them. Holy Father God, we pray for Tiffany. We pray that you'd please guide and protect her son from all harm and make him a better person. And give her husband strength to face challenges at work. Touch the hearts of Janice and Susan to treat everyone fairly and not terminate him. Have Tiffany to be offered a better position at work, if that is your will. We pray, Lord, for not only these people, but all of the people who have sent in prayer requests. Please hear and answer their prayers, hear and answer our prayers for them, and we pray that you'll bless all of these people with salvation, spiritual, family, life, financial, material, protection, and provision blessings in their lives, and protect them from the coronavirus plague and all other sicknesses and illnesses. And we include these few that we're praying over. We pray for Pastor Bushibi. Please bless the conferences that he has and eradicate completely the drought and the famine and the pestilence from Africa and all other parts of the world. Have the sorcerer in their town to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray for Denzel, for his father's recovery from a stroke and minor memory loss. Restore his health and give him a long and peaceful life. We pray for Kailash. Help him with the finances he needs to complete his MBBS degree. Medical education, help him to use his calling to change the lives of others. We pray for Ricardo, deliver him and his elderly father from demonic attacks. Deliver all of us under the sound of my voice and beyond from satanic demonic attacks. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for Candace, provide her with a job and help her to get her life back on track. Bring unity back to her family. Bless her children with good health and give them safety. We pray for AD, provide him with divine intervention and help him to get married according to your will. Give him a house of his own and ministerial breakthrough in his life. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of the people who have gotten saved through the ministry and all of the people who have rededicated their life through the ministry. Help them to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Kobe, Borquette, GJ, Tammy, Elvis, Rusha, and Jay. We commit all of these souls into your hands. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and help them to grow in the faith. And we pray not only for these few, but all of those who've gotten saved through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have rededicated their life through the ministry. We pray for Fode. We pray for Johannes. We pray for Ann. We pray for Kizzy. We pray for Joni. Focus on Gospel House of Prayer. She can't hear. Just focus on that. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for Joni. We pray for Moffitt. And we pray for Tammy. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is titled The Reason for Everything, Part 6, from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. We bring God glory by becoming like Christ. Once we are born into God's family, He wants us to grow to spiritual maturity. What does that look like, spiritual maturity? Spiritual maturity is becoming like Jesus in the way we think, feel, and act in our behavior. The more you develop Christ-like character, the more you will bring glory to God. The Holy Bible says, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. God gave you a new life and a new nature when you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, for the rest of your life on earth, God wants to continue the process of changing your character. The Bible says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. Let's pray. Holy Father God, thank you for all that you have done this morning in both services. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. And I do pray that you would indeed help us to mature in Christ and to be more like Christ. For those of us who are saved, and for those who are not saved, Lord, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears by the power of your Holy Ghost, to be saved, to hear the gospel and to understand it right now and to get saved today. Grant me your strength, your unction, your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit and your grace to proclaim and to preach your holy gospel once again today, and to make it plain. Lord, save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And for His sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from sin, the power of sin, and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. It might be cold where you are now, but there is a place called hell that is extremely hot, where the fire, Jesus said, is not quenched, and you need to avoid going there. And so in order to do that, first accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. You have, and I have, for the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, preacher, I have never sinned. How about this? Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Have you ever even cursed using God's name? Have you used God's name in a lie? You knew you were lying, but you swore by God's name. That's taking God's name in vain, big time. Have you ever dishonored and disrespected and disobeyed your father or your mother at any time in your life with a nasty, snatchy attitude and spirit, mumbling under your breath, and disobeying them, dishonoring them? Have you ever coveted somebody's, what other people have? Have you ever lusted after in your heart for other people and things, for people and things? Have you ever told a lie, be it a white lie, a little white lie, a little black lie? It's all lies to God. It's all a big lie in God's sight. Have you ever stolen anything? Maybe not anything big, but you stole money from your father's desk. Some change that you stole to buy some candy or something. Have you ever stolen any money out of your mother's purse? Have you ever stolen anything out of the refrigerator that belongs to somebody else? At the house or on the job? So you see that we're all sinners, aren't we? We're all sinners from the Pope on down. He's a sinner too. The Dalai Lama is a sinner. Joel Osteen is a sinner. Whoever you think is a great religious leader, they're sinners as well, and they'll tell you. If they told the truth, they'll tell you that. Now, secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for our sins. Isn't that right? In this life and in the life to come. There are millions of people in jails right now because they committed sins, they committed crimes. Some have been executed for their sins and their crimes. I hope that they catch the person who killed the beautiful beautiful girl, 16 years old, over some kind of social media beef. And I hope that they're executed for killing her in Texas, in Houston, Texas. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So the penalty, the punishment of sin for us is death. In fact, you're on death row right now. I don't care how pretty you are or how handsome you think you are. I don't care how much money you have or what kind of house you live in. I don't care how educated you are, uneducated, rich or poor, black or white. You're on death row. You're waiting to die. Why? Because of your sinful nature and your sinful choices. We all have sinned against God, and we all will die because of our sin. The body will go to a grave. Your soul will go out into eternity somewhere, either heaven or hell. And if you have never believed in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell to spend eternity. In fact, to me, the saddest torment of hell is that once you get there, you can't get out. And Jesus Christ described hell many times, but one time in one of his sermons, he said, hell is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus Christ also said that hell is a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And Jesus Christ, in fact, was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. He preached more on hell than any prophet, any preacher, any apostle, or any writer in the Bible. And Jesus Christ preached, in fact, more on hell than he did about heaven. Not because he hates us, but because he loves us. Because he came to die as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God of all time. He came to die for our sins, was buried and rose on the third day, and has taken away our sins. He paid our sin debt so that we would not have to go to hell by simply believing in him. So thirdly, accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ or believed in Jesus Christ in a saving way. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, to show you how earnest and serious he was about it in warning you of going to hell. He said, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Everlasting fire. Everlasting torment. And Jesus is saying to you, it's better for you to cut off your hand and your foot and go to heaven by believing in Christ than to go to hell with both feet and both hands. That's very serious. So hell is bad news, my dear friend. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said the most loving, most wonderful words ever spoken in John 3:16, when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world. That means that God loves you if you're in this world. Whether you feel lovable or not, he still loves you. I'm amazed still after 40 years of being saved that God loves me. And I'm amazed, equally amazed at least, that God loves everybody else as well. I'm amazed at that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved us so much, he gave up his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for our sins, to pay our sin debt. That whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, believeth in him. The word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in. Who? Jesus Christ. Believeth in him. Jesus was speaking about himself. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, guess what? You will not perish in hell. It is as simple as that. That's all you need to do. Do what Jesus told you to do. Believe in him. And you should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Now, that's good news, dear friend. So many people don't take advantage of it because they love darkness rather than light. They love evil and sin rather than righteousness and godliness. And so they want to continue in their sin and not trust Christ. Because, see, when you believe in Christ, you know instinctively that that means that you must repent and turn from your old life. And so many people lie and say, "Well, let me clean my life up first before I believe in Christ." Listen to me very carefully. If you try to clean your life up first, you're going to die and go to hell first. No, the idea is to believe in Christ and then let him clean you up. And so this does not say anything about joining a church, does it? Jesus does not say anything about being a member of a church, does it? Or does he? Jesus Christ does not say anything about giving money to the church. You must do this or that or this or that. All you have to do is believe in him in your heart. Call on his name in prayer and ask him to save you. Let him know that you believe in him as your Lord and Savior. You believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, and call on his name and ask him to save you. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. That's God's word on it. Same thing that Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, just in a different way. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, you should be ready right now to be saved. Some of you have already believed in your heart in Jesus Christ over the last few minutes, and you're saved. So let's pray the sinner's prayer. Let's seal the deal and forsake our sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by calling on his name in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge and I admit that I am a sinner. And Lord, it is true, I have broken those commandments that were mentioned earlier, plus, as you know, many more. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you into my heart and into my spirit to save my soul today. I receive your free gift of salvation. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, into the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as he has stated, as he has told you to do. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is a free download at GospelLightSociety.com. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material and some free literature that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith and be the Christian that God wants you to be. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.